A Life of Naturalism and Piracy. Written and read by Fresney. Fandoms Sherlock BBC and Cthulhu Mythos H.P. Lovecraft. Warnings for Omegaverse, part of the Variations on the Equation series. Where Captain Jacques Moriarty was a privateer in the East Indies for the French crown. All he had to do was pick off every other type of ship that sailed by and leave the French alone. Captain Sherlock Maison had no letter of marque for the red beard. He was a pirate of the worst sort. He plundered ships that Captain Moriarty had in his sights. Worse, he was from Marseilles, and Moriarty, who was born and bred in Paris, could not stand dogs from Marseilles. Worse, he had information on how Captain Moriarty plucked his chickens from that bitch, Irene. Betas could always get an Omega to talk. He shouldn't have trusted Irene as far as he could throw her. Maybe she was holding a grudge from when he threw her off that balcony in Taipei. Irene had taken a trip, and somehow there was Maison's ship, taking the merchant ships that Captain Moriarty had marked for his prize. Somehow there were Maison's swabs climbing over the side of Moriarty's favorite brigantine and taking the damned ship. Captain Moriarty might have complained about pirate codes or some such, but Captain Maison tapped his cutlass against his boot. Those are more like guidelines. As to the amateur naturalist that Captain Moriarty shanghaied to be his ship's doctor, Captain Maison took a shine to her. He took one look at the plain little thing in her beta-limp skirt, without a single petticoat and sun-bronzed skin, and said, Plain Jane Watson raised her stubborn chin. "Sir, as I told this brigand, I am a trained naturalist and a representative of the British Academy of Science. I demand that you put me ashore at the first port we come to." Captain Maison leaned down and took a good sniff, which, given the stench of camphor coming off the little bitch, set him to coughing. He took one turn around her and smiled. He looked at Captain Moriarty and winked. He winked. He turned back to the naturalist. "Miss Watson, you are not trained. You have set foot in the British Academy of Science, but only on Wednesdays, which is the only day of the week they would have let you in. You have an older brother who does not approve of you." He flicked the tip of his cutlass against a cheap tin ring around Jane's neck. "Primarily because you are an Omega, who has chosen to run away to sea in pursuit of science. You were picked up by Moriarty while on your way to India, where you hoped to send your work back for publishing under an assumed name. Swabs, do you have a problem with an Omega at sea?" The murmur was like a swell that turned to a sudden calm seas.
"No, Quartermaster Adler."
"That's good." Irene smirked. "It might be a dry, grogless sea otherwise." Then, as the sun was well over the yardarm, 11:30 at least, Moriarty's crew was stowed, and a tot of celebratory grog was provided to the crew. Captain Maison was not paying attention. He picked up Jane's hand while she looked at him gape-mouthed like a fish. "You have studied extensively." He looked closely at a faint green stain along the line of her wrist. "Rillian orchids, you've been ashore in Rillier. The look of one who has gazed into the eyes of the unspeakable is unmistakable." He tightened his grip on Jane's wrist and pulled her towards the captain's quarters. Jane stumbled after him on far shorter legs.
"I will have you know, sir, that I have studied Baritsu in preparation of my journey, and will not submit to ravishment any more than I submitted to the utter madness of the crew, who put ashore with me on Rillier.
Not my area, said Captain Maison, shoving her through the door, which, to be precise, refers to ravishment. Utter madness is somewhat my area. Irene called after Captain Maison.
Personally, I'd make her beg twice, as the door clicked shut behind the captain. She shrugged at Captain Moriarty.
Well, I would.
Now, what shall we get up to?
Once inside, Captain Maison dropped his cutlass into a slot by the door and strode the short distance of the room to a massive wooden chest.
Jane assumed the pose of the striking mongoose. I repeat, I will not submit to ravishment.
Captain Maison pulled a thick leather-bound book from the chest.
Miss Watson, I hate repetition, but as I said, not my area.
He set the book down on the table. It was replete with fully annotated drawings of the flora and fauna of the dread island of Rillier.
Captain Maison grinned. I, too, have been to that eldritch island.
Oh, said Jane, who dropped her defensive stance. She looked at the drawings. They were so finely drawn, she half expected the strange eldritch birds and fleshy flowers to leap off the page.
These drawings are fantastic, in both definitions of the term.
Captain Maison flushed faintly. They are. I studied at the French Academy of Science before running off to a life of piracy. He was staring at her very steadily. Jane's cheeks tinted with a faint flush of her own.
But how did you know that I was an Omega? I've girded the world, and no one has noticed.
Captain Maison put his hand on top of hers and watched her. Because they observed your behavior, but did not observe their own. If you were a beta, my impulse would not be to wonder if your nest is properly lined, and if you've had dinner. However, he suddenly became very looming. I consider my body merely transport. I am in control of my impulses. I am a pirate, and I will deal with you as I see fit.
Oh, but you're a naturalist pirate, said Jane, who was ignoring his looming in favor of looking at his beautiful drawings. Oh, look! You managed to spot a spectral jay. Extraordinary! Oh, I so did want to see one. We had to leave so quickly, or go insane for all the eldritch horrors of the island.
Captain Maison shrugged in a Gallic manner, as if to say, who among them was truly sane anyway? After a long, silent looming, he went to the door and shouted out, Hudson, dinner for my guest! And while he had none himself, he sat next to her as they discussed their various finds. He criticized her conclusions. She called him a fustian fool. He looked at her incredulously. I'm a pirate. I categorically cannot be fustian.
That is your answer to everything, said Jane, who was beginning to get Sherlock's measure,
for they had progressed to first names by the time the third leather-bound volume had emerged from the chest. He huffed out a breath. Around dinner time, a simply delightful bean mixture, of which Jane was able to coax Sherlock to eat a bite or two. To Mr. Hudson's delight, the conversation turned to more general philosophy, discussing the transmutation of species and the evolutionary purpose of alphas, omegas, and betas, the sort of congenial conversation naturalists might get up to. By the time they were lounging on the bed, which was infinitely more comfortable than the dinner chairs, plain Jane Watson folded her hands under her chin very seriously and looked at the frankly stunning pirate who was holding her captive and kicked her feet in the air. The golden mean did not apply to his face or form,
and yet his animation rendered that collection of features as stunning as the rare Rillian orchid. She warned herself not to be fooled by the calming effect of a Beta's scent and touch upon an Omega. Her own nature might incline her to think he was there for her protection, but as Sherlock himself had repeatedly said, hated repetition indeed. He was a pirate. He might yet feed her to the sharks, or abuse her in an unnatural fashion. She bit her lip at the very idea. But then again, he was a naturalist pirate. He might be open to a very natural sort of abuse. She thought about propriety. That, however, was a very short thought, as she'd been lost to that when she'd run away to become a naturalist. She scolded herself that she must consider her own virtue. Lost at least in name, when she'd been captured not once, but thrice by pirates, and on three continents, too. America, South America, and Asia. Although the American pirate had been more of a highwayman, and hardly counted, given she'd shot him with his own pistol. She thought about sensibility, lost when she'd first pretended to be a Beta with a Beta scent and clothing, and fodderall for a plan each time she'd gone into heat since. Once locked herself in her cabin, when she'd been a passenger, thrice worn the hair shirt. Certainly the writings of Abdul Azirad had been quite useful there. If obsessed with self-flagellation, in addition to the hair shirt, which was sufficiently irritating that the additional irritation of heat became part of the whole piece of a desire to set fire to the world rather than couple with it. She kicked her feet and thought about the ravishment of heat, how it might feel to be filled when she most desired to be so. There were some that said that there was no purpose in nature for humans to desire coupling outside of their time. Yet, she noted with interest the slick, full feeling between her thighs. She was very much interested. She told herself that she was an Omega. Fornication between a Beta and an Omega was very strongly frowned upon. No one would call upon them for tea. They would not be acknowledged in polite society. She grinned. You have grown silent. Is this set of drawings less fantastic than the rest? Sherlock looked ready to explode off the bed and spin around like a whirlwind. They are amazing, as you well know. And I am your prisoner, said Jane, and kissed him. But he sputtered, I said this is not my area. I am a Beta. As you've so often repeated yourself, you are a pirate, she said. She felt quite sensibly, while wondering just how much lace at his throat one Beta needed to wear. She tugged it off and opened his shirt to reveal quite a nice specimen of a chest. Therefore, she applied another kiss. This is absolutely. She explored that chest with her hands. Your area. He clutched somewhat feebly beneath her, which she noted had the effect of pressing him against her. She whispered in his ear, Relax. As you've observed, she applied yet another rather long kiss, while ascertaining by certain movements that he was very much interested in this proceeding. I'm an Omega. I am a pirate, said Sherlock, who really did love the sound of that sentence. Mais oui, c'est vrai, said Jane, who felt that a certain amount of French would not go amiss when pressing her breasts for the inspection of a French pirate's lips. Your accent is atrocious. Stop. She couldn't help but notice he was making short work of the lacings of her bodice. After enjoying his attentions there, she loosened his belt and pulled out of his drawers further proof that he was not uninterested in the proceedings. In fact, he was very interested. We've already discussed, she shimmied out of her drawers, that my intrinsic nature knows what to do. She straddled the long length of him. He said, "But you disagreed with my basic premise and demanded evidence." He was protesting, but he was also unlacing the rest of her dress. That, she raised her arm so he could remove it. She hoped it wouldn't be torn, as she had but one other. "Is because," she rid herself of her chemise. It was quite, she teased his very interested member at the slick folds between her thighs. "Improbable and insulting. You may as well claim that you could induce the existence of the ocean from a drop of water." "I still maintain," he mumbled between rapid kisses, to her admittedly apple-spare breasts, which, given his beta nature, applied a sense of comfort and safety to the excitement of the action, "that omegas, ah!" She having cut short his argument by positioning him at her entrance and slowly pressing his member fully inside. She felt unpleasantly full for a moment, but that feeling eased. She opened her eyes to look into his. His breath came in regular pants, which was agreeable. She moved slowly up and down. He scrabbled for purchase on her almost beta narrow hips. She said, "Oh, surprising. Oh, that's good. It would seem that you, Sherlock Maison, were..." She squeezed him, pulling forth a deep groan. "Entirely. Oh, yes. Oh, correct." She increased her pace that had even her little apples bouncing. "What? Hey. Surprise." After which, all talk of natural philosophy gave way to natural application. First, as Jane was inclined to categorize such things, to little gasps, then to great gasps, then to little mewling cries, then to great cries, then to Sherlock repeatedly saying, "Harder, I am, please, harder." She was pleased to grant his request. Though after, when she would have liked to lay spooned against him, he bounded out of the bed, ordered Hudson, poor man, it must be nearly midnight, to bring them wine and hard cheese, and then to a rapid-fire discussion of the implications of what they had just done. From a natural philosophy point of view, naturally. The cheese was brought, and the wine consumed. When he finally wound down enough for her to pull him back into the bed, saying, "I am a scientist. I need to repeat my experiment." He did not disagree. He did end up begging again by the time she was done with him. His voice was made for that sound, she came to think. It must come of a life of naturalism and piracy. Captain Moriarty also begged, twice. Although in the morning when Irene had him tossed over the side of the ship, that was taking things too far. He treaded water and considered it a distant spot of green. He started swimming. As to whether or not he made it, history cannot say. That the book on the flora and fauna of the island of Rillier, by S. Maison and J. Watson, drove many somewhat mad with eldritch horrified delight, is a matter of record. That Sherlock attended Jane throughout her next heat, with fewer hair shirts and more nautical instruments, is less a matter of record. But then, who among us does not contain some small cup of heated madness? The end.